We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Well, Brian Barrett sitting in for Scott today as we welcome in from the Rutherford County Historical Society, Pettus Reed, one of many hats that Pettus wears. We were just talking about a lot of those. So, yes, we're going to talk a lot about the Rutherford County Historical Society, but you're fresh off of wearing your blue Hawaiian shirt, I think, last night, MTSU shirt, right?
That's right. That's right. We had a great night last night out at Hollinshead Hangar. We had a huge crowd out there last night.
Was that a BRAA event?
BRAA. This was the donors' night. We had a packed hangar, I guess is what you would call that. But it was a good night. It was a good night of celebration to a new coach, what we think is a new future for the MTSU Raiders out there. We're planning for a big season, the first game being with Tennessee Tech once again. You know, we're going to...
Well, Harvey's here. He's got to stay, right?
Harvey's... And I think that was the talk around the tables last night. Harvey better stay in Murfreesboro. That's the main thing there. But it was a good night. It was a fun night. We had a good time.
Well, I'm not a Tennessee Tech fan at all. And like what Chip Walters always said, all dirt roads lead to Tech. But Shinny Ninny is a pretty cool name.
I don't know. Every time I would hear that, of course, being like myself, I mean, you know, you're talking to a Golden Raider here. Uh-huh. I'm official member of the Golden Raider Society. And then whenever I hear that, I thought, is it a disease? I mean, you know, something about that's just not right.
Chip, a few weeks ago with Kent Seiler, they were telling stories about, some of the creative ways that Harvey was reacquired if we lost this season or something like that. So
I can remember some of those. I can remember at one time, see, Farm Bureau had me to go and to get some of my early training back in 74. I had to live up in Cookeville. I worked that Upper Cumberland area up there, and I can remember it was tough. I mean, it was really tough on this old MTSU boy. And in fact, I was invited by one of their big supporters to go to a basketball game there. And he had tickets on the front row there, and I was sitting there. And of course, their eagle come out, and I was just sitting there trying to be funny. And he went by, and I said, "Why is a chicken your mascot?" And I never got tickets again ball game. I never had that opportunity, but. But they had a big opening for a dairy dip there, and they had the eagle. The eagle was there. He was dancing around and all this sort of thing, and all of a sudden a van pulls up. And this van pulls up, and they wave at him, and the eagle waves, and the eagle comes over to the van, and all of a sudden the eagle is in the van, and the eagle is gone.
Uh-oh.
And it was MTSU guys from down this way had captured the eagle. That was when the eagle, I know he had a leather suit. They find the young man who was being the eagle mascot out near Interstate, and he didn't have the eagle costume anymore. So they captured the eagle costume, and they held it all season until Tech come and played football, and the eagle returned here at MTSU. So they gave him his costume back. But that was one of the exciting things that happened there.
Well, you do things like that, you're on the 10 o'clock news now. Yeah. So the excitement, I've seen, you know, lots of I guess road signs and things of that nature. New era for Middle Tennessee football, so there's a lot of excitement around it, isn't it?
It is. It's a fun time. I mean, I think right now it's exciting time. We're hoping we have a great season. There's a lot more interest that's coming from this. We got the new buildings that's going on out there, the new building program around the athletic program, doing that. Our new coach spoke to us last night. He's got such enthusiasm. And if we can keep that enthusiasm among the fans to be there. I've got the same seats I've had for I don't know how many years. I sat on the row 12 on the 50-yard line. I've got six seats there I've had for a long time, and I'm looking forward to bringing the grandchildren. We're all be there and be a part of it. I've been a part of MTSU's season since I've got a son that I would bring here. I mean, he was in kindergarten, and I would bring him to these games, and his mother would get quite upset with me because I would wrap him up. It'd be raining and snowing and sleeting. Yeah. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "He's got to know what MTSU is all about. He's got to go." And we'd come here and sit through it, and we'd be probably the only two people sitting in that stand. But now he is the same way. He's a member of the board of the BRAA.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So it's, you know, it just gets in you. And like I said, I'm a member of the Golden Raider Society. So it's just part of me.
You know, one thing that I've noticed about those yard signs is it's Coach Mason's face there, you know, and that was one of the things I think President McPhee and the AD Sorrow mentioned, that they wanted somebody to be kind of the face of the program and someone that's out there and promoting the program. And from what I've seen since he's been hired, he's done that job.
He's done that. We've had him at the county commission. He came up there and spoke to us, and I think everybody saw the enthusiasm, and I think that's important. It's important, too, that Rutherford County get behind him and give him this opportunity. People show up out there. Come out there to the ball games and try to fill up those stands. I mean, it's that's what we need to be doing. This is a part of it. This is our university. This university's been here for so long, been here for a part of this county. A lot of people don't understand that university brings a lot of our economic part to this county, too. Now, you got to remember, too, a lot of those students, once they come here, they don't leave.
Right. There's a big percentage,
sure. And they become a part of what makes Rutherford County. And they were saying last night, within 5 miles of that campus, I believe that's what they were saying, but said there is in every household, just about in the majority of one out of five households within 5 miles of the campus, there is a MTSU graduate. And if we just got those many to come to that, mm-hmm. So I think it figured out somewhere around 22 to 23,000 that we're talking about that we could bring to that stadium.
You couple that with those that have been true blue all these years get the students involved on campus. You know, I know that a lot of people think that MTSU is kind of a suitcase campus, and in many aspects it is, but maybe not as much anymore as it used to be. I think people are staying here.
They are. And it's changed. I mean, it's changed from when I was there. I was there from 66 to 70, but it's changed tremendously. I mean, there was, I think, 7,000 when I was there, and now 22.
I was in the late 90s myself, and my wife and I, we met on campus, and we drove through, I guess maybe a couple of weeks ago, on the way to visit with our son and on a Sunday afternoon, and we just drove through the campus, and it's unrecognizable even from the late 90s, you know.
Yeah, there's something new all the time. I have the advantage of the fact that I serve on a committee or two over there. I'm chairman of the Ag Advisory Committee and still work with the Ag Department and do some of the things there. So it keeps me informed of what's going on over there, and I'm glad of that. But that university has done so many things that people within this very community do not understand what is there. Mm-hmm. That new science building, it's marvelous, the things they're doing there. There is studies and experiments going on within that building that will affect us all someday.
Pettis Reed is with us, and we're going to talk about the Rutherford County Historical Society for sure, because that's obviously, we're talking a little history here this morning too with that. As the District 8 Commissioner, you were telling me something that's pretty cool for you're in the Versailles, Rockvale area, and the football season is about to begin at Rockvale High School on brand new turf, and the field is probably one of the most unique I've ever seen. It's you'll see an American flag on the football field.
It is. It's we're excited about this new field. You know, when you talk about a turf field on a high school field, some people will say, oh, that's a lot of money to spend just for a high school football field. What you have to understand about these high school fields is that it's not just for 5 nights during the year, 5 games. That's what a lot of people say. Well, yeah, you're spending, what, $1.7 million for 5 football games there. First of all, you need to understand this is not taxpayer dollars coming out of the county coffer.
Sure.
It's not. This is donated funds. This is what people within the community, this is what businesses, this is people who want to help that school. And we're very fortunate. A lot of people have chipped in. We have the money. They have donated. They have given it. They have pledged to give this money. So we got the money to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the design was discussed and whatever, they go back to the old high school. We go all the way back to the 1920s when Rockville High School was created out there. And then you go up to the 1940s when we became the Rockets. Now, a lot of people said, where does this name Rocket come from anyway? Well, we had so many young men that went off to war back in the 40s and returned back to Rockville trying to get their high school diplomas that they wanted to honor those individuals and what they had done, going off to war to fight and come back. They thought about the Rocket. That's when the Rocket sort of began its time at that time.
Well,
that
it kind
time.
Of, you know, ended World War II.
It did.
A particular one.
So Rockville was named after the Rockets, mm-hmm. and it was in honor of those World War II veterans. Rockville has always supported its veterans. It's always been a part of that school. Well, when we began the new high school, a lot of people don't realize we just carried on after 47 years of being sort of sitting on the shelf for a while. We just brought it right back to this to the new school.
And everything was reestablished in 2019, I remember saying.
That it was.
Yeah.
The logo's the same as what you had at the old school. We even sing the same alma mater,
yeah,
from the old school. Everything was just moved there. And so we thought for this field right here, or the staff and those in charge, said, why don't we pay that same homage to our veterans again. So that field has a full-fledged American flag within its design on that field. And it's there again.
So the lighter and darker greens give you the design of an American flag.
An American flag, mm-hmm. in it. And that's what you would see when you sit in a stand. You will see that down there. Now, what's going to be interesting is when we do the dedication, I think it's the 23rd, I think that's the date, of that football game, and we'll have all the donors will be there and everybody will be there. I think they've got Fort Campbell coming down.
Oh, wow.
They're going to bring in a Black Hawk, and they're going to have military equipment there. I think the coach told me they're going to have 300 to 400 flags all over the place, and it's going to be quite a show when they do that dedication. And it's going to be something to see. And we just found out last night of who or what the field is going to be named for. And it's going to be named for one of our former alumni from the old school and who owned the farm for where this school is built.
Okay.
It's going to be named after Mr. Homer Brown.
All right. So Homer Brown Field?
Homer Brown Field is what that's going to be named after. And I just think that's exciting. I can still remember talking to Homer a lot of the time, and Homer was excited about this school. Now, Homer was quite an athlete. He could play just about anything, mm-hmm. imaginable. He could play baseball, basketball. This was before football. Now, Rockville didn't have a football team all the time I was there or any time after that. I understand there was a football team back in the early years when they had leather helmets.
Oh, wow.
Way back there. I've seen that picture. But we just, it was primarily a basketball team, then later baseball come in. But this is going to be an exciting time for that school.
I wanted to go back and kind of mention something that you said. It's not just five high school football games. Just in football alone, you have those five games. You have JV that play on the field. You have a freshman team that plays on the field. You have a middle school that plays on the field, and that's just football. You've got soccer, track, I mean, lacrosse. I mean, that field, and then with your youth leagues, there's someone on it all the time.
And you got band.
Band, right.
Band contest. There is even a time when the community uses that.
Mm.
Come Halloween, there will be Halloween at the Vale. Where people come out, and all around the track there will be set up different things that people come in, the children can come in and fill up their buckets right there at the track,
right.
Right there on the track. So that field is used continually, and what a lot of people don't understand, that field was having some water problems at different times. I mean, we are in Rockvale.
Right.
We have to explain that to folks. You know,
it's a reason that's called Rockvale, right?
It's called Rockvale, and it doesn't called Rocksvale either. I think there's one rock. That's all it is. All over the place. One big rock. And but it needed that help, and this right here is going to give that help.
And the money that it costs to keep the grass growing, the upkeep, and all of that, yes, it does cost, and you know, now is the time to start putting that money aside to help pay for replacement in years to come and that kind of thing. But you know, we've seen that it's been a good model at other schools too. So
it has, and I'm very glad for those other schools that have this. It gives that opportunity for continued use, and we can see the benefits from that. But we're really excited out there at Rockvale about this. About this field, it's quite a bright blue feel on the end zones and things of this type. It's got Rockets on one end, Rockvale on the other end. It's got a huge R right in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder why? But it's got that got our logo right there in the center.
Now, so, was royal blue and white? Was that the original colors for the school?
That was the same colors. It's you know, what's interesting, it follows pretty much MTSU.
Yeah, I noticed that. Also, question about, you said it was in the 40s that the nickname came along. Was there another nickname for the school between the 20s and the 40s?
No.
That just really wasn't a thing, really.
That wasn't really a part of everything going on. You got to remember, that school at one time had a basketball court in a barn up in the loft.
I never saw those, but, you know, same thing at Walter Hill and that kind of thing, you know.
But that barn stayed around for the longest. It was out on Old Versailles Road, and it was Dr. Garrett's farm, I believe.
Is that right?
It was. But my father, we'd drive by that barn. He said, I used to play basketball in there. And he would show that barn. But it had a floored loft in it, and they would clean the hay back. They'd play basketball there.
Now, I do remember when I was a kid in elementary school that the old Las Casas gym was still in that what looked like a barn at that time.
Well, so, you got to remember the old Rockvale gym that I actually played in and whatever. It still had the old post that was in where everybody was set.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you was unfortunate to get behind one of those posts, you spent the night looking around the
back
post.
Back and forth.
But we never had the new gym when I was going to high school there. I mean, it just, there wasn't a new gym there. So you had the old gym, but one of the advantages was that floor had dead spots in it, and if that was your gym and the other team knew not where the dead spots were, you knew that's where you stole the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. I can remember the old gym and what we had there and how it was. You can remember at a certain time of the year when the season changed, that's when the termites come out. I mean, all these sort of things. But we have gone a long way coming to the schools that we have today. As a county commissioner, they really do cost us. I have to look at that. And
what was the new school? Somewhere upwards of $80 million, something like that?
This one?
The Rockvale school?
Close to 70.
70, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think 74 is what he finally come in at. But
well, the newest one that's been built in Middle Tennessee was $124 million, so they're only going up.
Yeah, that's it. And it's where we are right now, and that's usually hold off on a high school because high schools are very expensive, and what you're going in that direction. But you got to look at Rockville High School when we, you know, when we did the open house. What, 19? Is that when we did that? 2019.
Yeah.
The next year we had portables.
I know.
There's 10 portables out there yeah. right now. A brand new high school like that. It's 5 years old. The thing I tell people, I said, you know, you think about these new schools, you think about what all we got. What you've got to look at down the road is the amount of roofs that's on these things. Somewhere down the line, you got to fix those or you got to replace those. A roof is very expensive. And
drive price in an HVAC
that drops
unit.
In it too. When you think about the maintenance on yeah. what we have on our school systems, that's every year. And if you don't do maintenance, you're in a big trouble. So we have to do all of this. That adds to this budget. It's continuous cost. And people say, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? There's more to it than why don't you do this? There's a whole lot to it.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of cost that's hard to deal with and how to go that away. And what you must understand also, that as students continue to come in and come in and come in, we have to find places for them.
It's mandated.
It's mandated. And that's yeah. what I was getting ready to say. The state mandates this. Well, getting what we need for them to mandate, we don't get that.
And the money that they put with each student, that state money that comes in, doesn't come close to covering the cost of educating.
What it does, especially if you have to build the school to
right.
do it. And Rutherford County has been pushed to the mark for so long where we're building almost a school a year. And it's just very costly in what you have to do that and how to keep up with it and how to go that away.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
There's a new elementary school going up Poplar Hill.
Mm-hmm.
On the Beatty Farm, so
right,
and the additions at Riverdale and Oakland and Smyrna high schools, and you know, I've heard that trying to look for land for another high school in the Laverne area. So it's just no end to it.
But you have to look at the fact that, say, you look at Rockville right now. You have three schools right there. We just added on to those year before last, the elementary and the middle school.
Yeah.
I was out there the other day with the principal at the middle school. She says, we're already full. She says, I have no place to put a student. Well, they're in the process right beside the middle school. The city of Murfreesboro has gone out there and annexed a piece of property, 68 acres. They're putting 182 houses right next to it.
And what is it? Something like 1.2 kids per house
You've got that.
Yeah.
Well, now on the other side down there, they're getting ready to do 72 houses. And then you've got Carlton Landing, and then up there you've got Salem Landing. You've got all of these houses that they're building. That's got to come this way too. Well, those schools just really are going to have a hard problem handling all of that. So here we are. And then you got a school board that's got to look at zoning. And then you got people that don't want to be zoned. You got these that got to be zoned. You know, it's to a point where, and people are saying, well, how can you get people elected to these positions to make these decisions? I tell them, I said, would you want that position?
Exactly.
Do you want to make that decision?
I was just going to say, I know you're in the Rutherford County Commission and you have a hard job with what you have to do, but could you imagine being a school board member?
It's a difficult situation. Yeah. The other day I was sitting on the porch with some constituents, and the whole time I sat there, my phone rang. It just sat there and rang. They said, does this do this often? I said, it starts at 7 o'clock and it'll go all till night. And I said, This is what your leaders deal with.
It's what it is.
But I said, it's just part of it. I'll never forget, there was an old gentleman sitting on the seat when I first became a commissioner, and I was talking about the fact of how many meetings I had that day. And he looked at me, he said, you do know you raised your hand to do this job. And I have always remembered it. I raised my hand.
More than once now.
Yeah, yeah. And I've done it in several different places, and I've done it due to the fact that, you know, it's I think I'm repaying for what I received. I know a lot of people made it possible for me to get the education I had. A lot of people made it possible for me to do the things I did to have the things here in Rutherford County that I'm trying to repay it back. And I think that's important.
Conversations this morning with Rutherford County Commissioner Bettis Reed. He's also a huge part of the Rutherford County Historical Society, and we haven't gotten into that conversation just quite yet, but we're going to some things to talk about. And he brought up elections, and before going on the air, we were talking about elections, so we might go down that road here as well, what it used to be like and what it is today. So let's take a quick break here on the Action Line, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. They offer some energy saving tips during the hot summer months. Change the HVAC filter in your home about once a month for more efficient operation. More tips at mte.com/myenergyplan. More of the Action Line with Pettis Reed coming up in a moment.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things when we were looking at trying to craft our menu to help those who are dieting is the side dishes. A lot of times we're so used to eating starches and unhealthy side dishes. In addition to our spinach, which we've had on the menu from the start, we've added zucchini and green beans, but we've also added broccoli. The broccoli is properly steamed, so it's not too soft and not too hard. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
At Budge Tire Pros, we sell all major brands of tires, and we invite you to stop by today for that next set of tires. Or maybe you need us to check out your vehicle before you head out of town. We offer everything from brakes to batteries, alignments, and more. No appointments necessary, just stop on by.
I'm Allison Mitchell with Bud's Tire Pros. We're located on East Main Street, exactly 3 miles from the town square, 1 mile past Rutherford Boulevard. Visit us online at budstireprostn.com.
If you're planning an upcoming trip and want to include your pet, we have all the travel supplies you'll need at Animal City. This is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Animal City is Murfreesboro's hometown family-owned pet store. We've had the honor and pleasure of serving the community for 33 years. If you want to see some photos of our adorable pets, feel free to check out our Facebook page, Animal City of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro.
Bob Ferris enjoys life at Adams Place.
I do physical therapy here and ride the bicycle. This morning I rode the bicycle for 20 minutes. At Adams Place, I enjoy the friendship. We have a good time.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good morning. Still got this slowdown here in South Nashville. TDOT's up against the wall there with a car on 65 southbound just south of Harding Place. That's got traffic going slow as you head on down towards Brentwood. Two cars up against the wall, 24 westbound near Old Hickory Boulevard as you come out of Rutherford County there into Antioch. Again, that's going westbound on 24. Watch for them. Princess Hot Chicken has new items on the menu. Check them out this weekend. Order online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the low 90s. North winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies and a low near 63. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 70.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Next hour, we'll have the roundtable. J. Paul Newman is going to sit down with former Judge Steve Daniel on conversation today on the best of the roundtable and then Rutherford issues. I'll have John Mitchell from the American Red Cross on. Of course, Debbie's still doing her thing up in the Northeast. There were some tornado warnings in the New York and D.C. areas today, so she's still going, or what's left of that tropical system. Thankfully, Pettis Reed, who is with us today, District 8 Commissioner for Rutherford County and Rutherford County Historical Society. We don't have to deal with that, but we do have our own weather problems we have to deal with tornadoes and such. But we were kind of talking about elections at one point here just a few minutes ago, especially before going on the air. And, you know, it was about a 10.5% voter turnout total. Looks like about 40% of those used the early voting. So still more are voting on Election Day, but it's definitely changed the election process and how it used to be. And, you know, the people that are in these offices, like that's kind of what prompted me to bring this back up here. When we elect people to offices, you know, you want to have a voice of how your tax dollars are spent, but only 10% come out and vote. So, I mean, that's how you have your voice in that.
That's totally right. I mean, when you vote, you're sending a message to those individuals who are there that are supposed to be looking out for your interest. But when you don't vote, I often wonder, I said, you know, you're basically telling me you don't care. I mean, really, when you get down to it, if you're not willing enough just to come out one day and cast your vote, it's difficult. You know, I have to look back. The election day used to be something that's really big here in Rutherford County. I mean, I can remember it. I can remember as a child. In fact, I guess the reason it's so important to me is I sort of grew up in that.
Yeah.
I can remember as a kid back in, I grew up in Versailles. Now, Election Day in Versailles was big, and that little old store out there was covered with people all day long, and people showed up to vote. We had to have someone there that would, we had some individuals that might had a problem reading the ballot and whatever. We had someone there to read the ballot for them to make sure they could do that at different times, they didn't have their glasses or something that we had to help them, or they helped them. I was a kid. I went along to make money. And
how do you make money on Election Day?
Isn't that interesting? Well, there are some people do it unlegal. I was legal. But what they would do as a kid there, you would have individuals running for election that would come in and hand you a handful of cards, and they'd give you a dime to pass out their cards. Well, you got to remember, back then, a dime to a kid was a whole lot of money. I could get a cold drink and a candy bar with a dime back then. I can remember one individual was running for a state office, gave me a quarter. I was rich for a day. I really was. But it was fun. It was fun. We would stand around and watch all of this, and the politicians would do this. But I would stand there in that store and watch them count votes. Now, you got to remember, back then, there were no machines. Everybody used a paper ballot. They would do it, fold it, stick it in the box. And come that afternoon, my grandfather was what they called the judge and of the election right then. At a certain time of the day, when election was to be over, he would walk to the door of that store and look. He said, "Well, I'm looking at down all roads right here and don't see anybody coming, so election is over. Nobody else is coming to vote." They would sit down. He had opened up that ballot box, a big galvanized box, open it up, take out each ballot one by one, unfold them, and he'd read them off, who they'd voted for. And then you would have a clerk, or you had two clerks, both of them would write down who it was. They do four marks, and then when they get to the fifth mark, they'd say tally. And they would all do this to make sure that they're getting the count correct. And then the ballots were placed back into the box, and then it went back up here to the Election Commission.
And I'm sure there was, you know, a report on this is how many votes so-and-so got.
It did.
And then at the Election Commission, you have to take that from all of the county, I guess, and then they do their tallies.
All over the county. It come right back up here. At that day, I think it went to the courthouse.
Okay.
But the interesting thing was, compared to the day, I noticed that last Thursday. In that little store, they would pack that store to watch them count those votes. Everybody was that interested and that excited. They wanted to see that vote counted. People would stand there and look at those votes. And they watched the count and they would say, oh, so-and-so got this many, and it was a big day. Then they would come to Murfreesboro and they'd have a huge chalkboard in the courthouse, and sometimes they put it outside. A man on a ladder would write it up there, and they'd keep tally of everybody's votes all across the county. And the courtyard would be full of people coming here to see that, because...
And so is your election commission, I guess, as they got, you know, the Versailles precinct, they would add those numbers
to it.
Okay.
They'd add them to
outside.
It and go that way. Well, Thursday, when 7 o'clock comes, they shut the doors and locked them, and nobody come in. And they did it that way, and then they would take the strips from the machines and put them on the door, and you could go to the door and read them.
But I'm sure it only took them a matter of minutes to get that printout.
It takes 10 minutes, about what he took there other day. And I was noticing this, and I looked around. There was three of us standing there to see what the outcome was compared to what it used to be back then. Well, that's how times have changed. What's the interest? Well, everybody now has a computer. They're scanning it. They're listening to y'all on WGNS and how it's coming through that way. So nobody has to go somewhere to hear all this. And I've often thought, I said, have we made it so simple and so easy for everybody? The apathy has come in that, you know, and what's up?
I have seen, you know, every 4 years when there's a presidential election on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, there's always, you know, a huge voter turnout. But that's folks who come out because of the presidential election. You may have 70-80% voter turnout then, but those aren't the people that are dealing with how to spend the tax dollars and, you know, schools and that kind of thing.
People need to understand that at their local level, this is where it's important to them. These are the people that affect them, and it's very important right here. So it is. But let me say something about the Historical Society out of time.
We're about to run out of time. So
let me say, this Sunday, we're having an author's, an author's showcase of historical writers in Rutherford County. And it'll be at Oakland's, starting at 1 o'clock from 1 to 3. And we've got a lot of authors here in Rutherford County that write about things that happened here. They'll be there with their books. They'll be selling their books that you can come by and talk to them, see what's going on there. I'm going to be there with my one book that I currently have. In fact, I was sitting here when you walked in a while ago. I was sitting there. I said, did I write that? I forgot I even wrote that in that book. But we've got several authors that are coming out to Oakland to do that. And then come August the 19th, on a Monday night, we're having the Historical Society is having a picnic out at Brown's Store. You have to have reservations for that. Tomorrow is the last day to make those reservations. But we're going to be out there. We're going to learn a whole lot about Las Casas. We're going to, have a picnic there at the store. They're providing right there for that. So it should be a lot of fun then. And then coming up in September, we're going to be talking about Apple John. And Apple John was a character that used to be right here in Rutherford County. They used to sell some apples around the square. He was quite a noted person due to the fact of some photography, pictures that were made of him that went all the way up to New York.
Oh, wow.
And won a lot of awards. So this is some of the upcoming programs that we're going to be having in the Historical Society.
You still have coffee and donuts on Saturdays?
Every Saturday from 9 to 12, there is a huge group of people show up there at Ransom out here on Academy. You know, it's quite interesting when you get in there how many people now are coming to Ransom, and then all the new people that are showing up. You know, we talk about growth in Rutherford County. We are seeing a lot of new people that have moved here, and they want to know more about this county, how it began, what's happening here, and what's going on. We do so much with the Historical Society to preserve as much as we can. We have individuals there that are quite active in locating the cemeteries of this county. They know a whole lot about where each cemetery is. We have people coming in there and said, hey, my ancestor back in so-and-so was buried at this cemetery. Do you know where it's at? And they'll sit down with them, talk to them, and tell them where it's at. In fact, they'll say, we'll meet you here and show you where it's at.
Oh, wow,
and
cool.
Help you find your ancestors. So we've got this going on. We have a pretty good-sized computer base that we have a lot of pictures stored of things around here. You can go there and we'll help you find some things that you probably didn't know. We had a gentleman the other day that come in. He had the letters from the Woolworth store, I believe. I think that's what it was, but he didn't know what the colors were around there. We found pictures of the old Woolworth store and what it would have looked like up on there. So we brought that back to life to show him what you had to put
right
there and all those different things. So we're doing something continually about the history of Rutherford County. We are now trying to finalize some of the things for first families in Rutherford County, locate as many of the first families that we can find. Dating from the 1850s back. They're putting this all together. Each family can write about their family, give us the exact information about their family, when they came to Rutherford County, births and all this sort of thing, and it's being kept at the archives. My family arrived here in 1802, so I'm one of those first families that arrived here.
I know Bart has done that and has been able to trace his history back, and something that I need to get on and do, because I know that my family has deep roots here in the county. My grandparents used to run the Neely Satchery on the square on Vine. Mm-hmm. So lots of rich history that you can find. By the way, for those of you with a computer or your phone, you want to find out more about the Rutherford County Historical Society, RutherfordTNHistory.org is the website for that. And I'm sure you've got all of your events and things on the website that are coming up.
We do. We like to have everybody come in. We like to have folks join it. It's only $25 a year. They can receive the copies of what we call the Fro Chips. It has a lot of the stories. We have different writers write about the things that happened here in Rutherford County, a lot of history. It's a lot going on.
It is. It is. Pettis, it's always good to catch up with you. Appreciate you coming in today.
Glad to do it.
Pettis Reed here on the Action Line this morning.